CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor. Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, a tragedy before us. And I welcome John Bolton, former National Security Advisor, former ambassador to the United Nations, to comment on the little we know so far about the Evin prison fire in these last days. BBC is now reporting, others are supporting the reporting, that something strange went on before the fire broke out, now said to have caused the deaths of 8 people. What's strange is that there is a report that the bully boys, the Basiji, were in the prison provoking prisoners who were behind bars, calling out provocations that were that found a response from the prisoners. So something triggered what was called the prison riot. Something triggered what was called a fire that was devastating for part of the prison. John, a very good evening to you. This incident can't be clarified. It's fog of war. But it does in some way indicate that the regime is responding with its usual brutality. Is there anything different about now than, say, 10 years ago or 5 years ago when the regime crushed protests in the streets? Good evening to you, John.
Good evening. Well, I think this is much more serious for the regime even than the demonstrations of 2009 and the fraudulent election that that reelected Mahmoud Ahmadinejad as president. I think these protests overlaid on the enormous economic discontent throughout Iran are the most dangerous threat to the Ayatollahs since their revolution in 1979. Masih Amini was the young lady who was brutally murdered and triggered these riots. Was Kurdish, and a lot of the repression is in the Kurdish areas, but it's now nationwide. And there's a lot of reason to think that the riot in the Evin prison was provoked as a way for the Basiji and the regime to kill a lot of political opponents in jail there under the pretext that the prisoners themselves had caused it. So, as you said a moment ago, we don't know all the details, but I'm fully prepared to think this was provoked by the regime.
We're told that it's a nationwide protest. We're told that young people are participating, but you report that all levels are in some way standing up to the regime. They seem unafraid, John, despite the fact that we routinely get reports of murder. So the cruelty is broadcast. They boast about it to suppress their population. At the same time, the regime is under review by our allies and partners, the UK, not the least of them, about their export of drones to the Russian army to launch drone attacks on the Ukrainians. Is that also a sign of weakness on the regime's part, that it is now participating in a fashion in the European war where heretofore they've stayed into their own neighborhood?
Well, I think it's another indication of exactly what this regime is all about and why the Biden administration continues to want to go back into the 2015 nuclear deal, unfreeze billions of dollars of frozen assets, lift the economic sanctions, and throw the Ayatollahs an economic lifeline while they're selling drones to the Russians, repressing their own people. This is a regime that needs to be overthrown, and I think what's happening here is a very real risk. I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow, but this threat is higher than they've seen before, and it's rising. And the important thing, I think, for Americans to understand is this is not just a protest about headscarves as a matter of fashion. This is a direct ideological attack on the very legitimacy of the Ayatollahs themselves. And I think everybody in Iran understands it. And the fact that it's coming from the young people, you know, in a population of 85 million plus or minus, 2/3 of the people are under age 30. This is extraordinarily destabilizing. And obviously, the regime still has a monopoly on force in the Basiji, in the Revolutionary Guards, the regular military. If those start to fracture, then I think the regime is coming down.
John, the understanding is that Iran is worth 4 million barrels of oil a day when the sanctions are lifted. This is a theory that has been cast around for some time now, why the JCPOA reawakened is a good thing. Those 4 million barrels of oil are very attractive to our European allies because they're going to stop taking Russian oil at the beginning of December. Will the European allies persist in hoping for the Iran deal to be reawakened by the U.S. and Iran. Will they permit that to happen, knowing that Iran is now participating in the Ukrainian war that threatens all of NATO, all of the EU, and the prosperity of Europe? Will they change their minds, John?
Well, they should. And I think in many respects, ironically, in France and to an extent in Germany, they're less interested in getting the United States back into the 2015 deal than the Biden administration is. They want the price of oil down, and they're willing, in the price of the pump in the United States, almost willing to do anything, taking oil out of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which I think is outrageous that they're doing that just for a few cents lower price at the pump, going to the repressive Maduro regime in Venezuela and talking about lifting sanctions there so they'll produce more oil. At the same time, they've effectively got, they don't call it a freeze on drilling permits, but that's effectively what's happened for the past 2 years, not building the Keystone pipeline. They'd rather buy oil from Iran and Venezuela than have it produced here.
What is the case that the Biden administration makes for reawakening JCPOA? Do they have a case about money? Do they have a case about peace in the Middle East? What do they say, John?
It's a political obsession with them. They see this as the Obama administration's second term equivalent of Obamacare, and they want to resurrect it. And they believe that what the Iranian government commits to, that they will adhere to. And that is fantasy and has been from 2015 forward. The deal itself was fundamentally flawed. It hasn't gotten better with age. The concessions the Biden administration has made in their negotiations have made it even worse. And it's due to expire in a few years, and yet they still cling to it. I think they've lost the political bubble in the White House, which is one reason why not only are Republicans essentially unanimously opposed to going back in, that opposition is rising within the Democratic Party, too.
And Iran's attack on Israel and its neighborhood for these last years has been isolated. Oh, well, they live in a rough neighborhood. Does Europe get it? Iran is now coming their way. Does Europe see it?
Well, they should see it, and they should see that if you could overturn the regime in Iran, not only would it reduce the threat in Ukraine, reduce the threat of Iran's pursuit of nuclear weapons, it would undercut Hezbollah in Lebanon. This ought to be particularly important to the French to allow Lebanon to return to a peaceful, normal way of life without interference from Iran. Might help solve the problem in Syria, would eliminate aid to the Houthi rebels in Yemen and aid to Hamas against Israel. The world would be a much better place without the Ayatollah's regime in Iran. There's no doubt about it. And I hope the Europeans get that point.
In 2009, there was rioting in Tehran. A young woman was murdered by the Basiji. And at that time, it was early Obama administration. The president had an opportunity to speak out in support of the protesters in Iran. He chose not to. Would those remarks help the people, the protests today, in your opinion, if the president spoke out in support of them?
100%. And even Obama has admitted he made a mistake back in 2009. Look, I think everything we've talked about here, this whole range of behavior by the regime in Tehran, is the perfect storm of the case why regime change is necessary. What it would do in the Middle East, in Europe, really around the world, would be a truly remarkable change and something that everybody would welcome except the religious extremist and the Revolutionary Guard in Iran. So why the administration, why the Europeans don't come to this conclusion is they watch pictures of young women being attacked by armed guards for wanting to take their headscarves off in Tehran. I just don't understand it. Where are the human rights advocates here? Where are the advocates of women's rights against this regime?
John Bolton, former National Security Advisor. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.